This is People's Tribune Radio. I'm Mike Thornton. Tony Mazzocchi, national organizer for the Labor Party, died on October 5th of this year. On this edition of PTR, we pay tribute to this great labor leader by rebroadcasting an interview we did with Tony Mazzocchi in 2001.
It's obscene, some of the profit being made over misery. It's a right, not a privilege. Healthcare should be distributed equally to every human being in our society.
People's Tribune Radio is produced by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, who also published the newspaper, People's Tribune, Tribuno del Pueblo. Stay tuned for contact and ordering information at the end of the program. Just a few short months ago, the Labor Party held its national convention in Washington, D.C. In addition to the social and political programs being addressed by the delegates, another issue loomed large as well. Tony Mazzocchi, national organizer for the Labor Party, was terminally ill. Mazzocchi had been a driving force in the party, and it was clear that probably sooner rather than later, Mazzocchi would pass on and new leadership would need to emerge. Though obviously physically weakened, Mazzocchi still had his powers to motivate and inspire intact. In just a brief speech, Tony Mazzocchi brought the entire hall full of delegates to their feet. Tony Mazzocchi succumbed to pancreatic cancer at his home in Washington, D.C. on October 5th, and we thought it would be a good idea to replay this interview that we did with him. We began by asking Tony Mazzocchi about the formation of the Labor Party.
Well, the Labor Party was actually officially formed in 1996 at a convention attended by about 1,400 delegates who were chosen by their own constituencies through a voting process. And at that convention was hammered out Constitution. The Labor Party basically has as its core concept, it is addressing the concerns of working people. We mean that generically when we talk about working people. People who actually have a job, people who don't have a job, would like to have a job. We're talking about working class folks. And we're organized to address their concerns, which of course we make up the overwhelming majority of people who exist in the country. We initially decided we would not be involved in electoral politics. We really wanted to hammer out an agenda and a program and to try to reorient the debate in this country around our concerns rather than the concerns of those who are rich. We want the issues that concern the everyday life of ordinary people to be up front, to be part of the discussion. We thought the two major parties were caught up in following a corporate agenda. You know, things like GATT and NAFTA, welfare reform, you know, the crime bill, all the type of things that major corporations see as their primary objectives to refocus the American public around those issues like health care, a job for everyone, housing for everyone, a job for everyone. So the Labor Party basically is rooted in labor unions, those who are about seven international unions who basically fund this process. And we see ourselves building out from labor unions. We have groups, but traditionally labor parties in, let's say, in Western Europe, and Australia, Canada, really grow out of the labor movement because that's a big resource base. They're organizing skills there, and there's the ability to sustain a long-time organizing campaign.
Mr. Mazzocchi, let me ask you, you said that the Labor Party decided that it was refrained from being involved in electoral politics in order to develop a program. Can you talk a little bit more in detail about that program?
Sure. Well, it's a program that we think addresses every problem we have. We basically, we're for amending the Constitution to guarantee everyone a job at a living wage. That this is a concept that did originally exist in our country that there were many members, Supreme Court Justice Black was one of those who thought that the Constitution did provide a guarantee for every person a job. The government's obligation to create employment if the private sector couldn't create employment. So we're for a constitutional guarantee. We think that's the best welfare program rather than have people just receive checks. We would provide a job. If you can't work, of course, for some reason or another, there would be income support. We, for instance, just can't allow corporations to, you know, pull up and go any place they want. We talk about pay for laid off workers, 2 months severance for every year of service. We want the right to organize unions, you know, remove all the impediments to them. We call for an end to bigotry, you know, the concept an injury to one is an injury to all. We don't want a society where there's any bigotry at all. We call for universal health care. From the time you're born till the time you die, health insurance exists. No payment by individuals. It's funded in a totally different way. But every single resident of the country would be under that health insurance plan. We're for a 32-hour work week, four-day week. We're for free education and quality education for everyone. In fact, the total tuition for all public institutions in this country, you know, I'm talking about secondary education colleges, for graduate and undergraduate work, the tuitions come out to $23 billion a year, and that's based on the GNP in this country. And we call for, as a first step, free tuition to any public institution. Certainly stop corporate abuse of trade. We think GATT and NAFTA are just corporate devices to allow them to seek the cheapest labor all over the world and to exploit labor in other countries. An end to corporate welfare. You know, a large proportion of our tax money goes to subsidize corporations. We want the wealthy to pay a fair share of the taxes. Right now, you all know that the 1% that has most of the wealth in this country are not paying their fair share. We call for revitalizing the public sector. We call for the end of corporate domination of elections, you know, real campaign finance reform, and a whole series of, dealing with the environment, dealing with job, health, and safety regulations. So we're addressing every aspect of life for ordinary folks in this country, the type of things that were hardly discussed in this election campaign.
These type of issues and the responsibility for government to provide service, real service, to working people were completely ignored by both of the major party candidates.
Yeah, they were tinkering around the edges on health care, tinkering around the edges on what we do in an economic downturn, which is coming.
I've been thinking a lot about the organizational efforts necessary to build a party, if you will, that can work for interest other than the interest that the Republicans and Democrats seem to be working for.
For first of all, it requires patience and a long-term vision. You know, everybody knows what the impediments are to additional political parties because of this voting system that exists in this country. So one is you have to have a vision. You have to have a coherent program that resonates with ordinary people so that sense of alienation they feel can be discarded. 50% of the people did not go to vote, not because they're stupid or apathetic. They don't think, you know, their concerns are being addressed. So you're going to have someone who's president who got, you know, 24% of the 25% of the eligible vote in this country. It's going to take, as I say, a coherent agenda that people relate to during the difficult times that are coming and will continually reoccur, that people are organized around this coherent agenda. Not an easy task. And I think anyone who thinks you can do it overnight really doesn't belong in his movement.
We're talking with Tony Mazzocchi, national organizer for the Labor Party. Mr. Mazzocchi, let me ask you, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I've been a member of the trade union movement since I left the Army at the end of World War II, and always felt that what was lacking in our country was a political party that represented the views of working people. I always thought we were a tail to someone else's party, and our views never were paramount. You know, working people in this country are less well off than they were, say, in 72. You know, wages haven't improved at all when you adjust for inflation. They've been flat, some backward movement. We work more hours, more people in the family work just to make ends meet. The so-called economic boom doesn't cover everybody. And even people who work are working harder than they've worked before. They're paying more for health care. They have less time to spend with their families. Everyone's working. Some families just pass each other coming and going. It's like ships passing in the night. Somebody's on a day shift. Some people holding two jobs. Lots of folks working 12 hours. So I got into it based on these concerns. I say, how do we change it? You know, my vision from when I was young as a trade union said people shouldn't have to work till they're 65, and you got people who want them to work till 70. I mean, what's life all about? We should work shorter hours. We should have more leisure time. We should be insured against being kicked out on the street or suffering ill health because we can't afford it. These are basic needs that, you know, I thought we fought for in World War II, you know. The freedom from fear that Roosevelt talked about, which is recaptured and all that. And I saw what our country could do in much more distressed times. You know, I came out of the Army. There was a GI Bill of Rights. It allowed us to buy homes. It allowed a very low interest rates. It allowed us to go to school. Everyone admits that the GI Bill was the most progressive piece of social legislation ever passed. And the United States Senate in 1988 did a study that said the GI Bill was the best return on either public or private investment in the history of the country. You know, we got back much more than we put in terms of tax dollars.
We're talking with Tony Mazzocchi, national organizer for the Labor Party. Caller, you're live on the air.
Tony.
Right.
You can hear me?
Sure.
I've read some of your writings there in the past, and you've brought up many of the points that I have on the labor plank for a new political party. And we're in total agreement. However, I think that before we can clean someone else's house, we must first clean our own house. And I believe that you have an anchor hanging around your neck. Your labor program does not coincide with mine, and I'll give...
Let me do this, okay, yes. Because I really want to make sure we have a line open for other callers. Make your point, and then we can move on.
I want no more pay for a union worker, a union representative, than the worker in that union earns. I want that person to be subject to instant recall. I want democratically run unions. I want the... misuse hundreds of millions of dollars that are being stolen from people who are not Democrats and dumped into the Democratic Party stop. I want nepotism ended. I want to see the end of union corruption, bureaucracy, fraud, goons and gangsters and stealing. I want the ties. You talked about 1996, that you did not want to get politically involved, and I believe that you did not mention that that is because the Labor Party was a creation of union bureaucrats. These are the kind of people that we must get rid of if we were ever to reach to a broader layer of middle America.
Well, one is the Labor Party was not the creation of labor bureaucrats. They were 1,400 rank-and-file delegates who were elected by their own local constituencies. There never was a more democratic convocation of people. There is no comparison with any political party around, and anybody who will read the proceedings at a convention will see that the people, rank-and-file workers, created the party and shaped their own destiny. I mean, that's a fact. Two conventions, which were videotaped, tape-recorded, printed, transcript. The labor movement is it's not all pure. It's not as, I mean, you paint a picture that everyone is corrupt. You know, labor movement is a reflection of American life, too. And there is lots of needs for reform in the labor movement. It's up to people who are members of unions to conduct the type of reform that's necessary. That's another enormous struggle, and I certainly support democratization within unions, but that's the people who are members of unions. So that's not our task as a political party. Our task is to make sure that this party represents the views of working people, it's democratically constituted, and the people who are members of it have the ultimate voice. And we've done that.
We're talking with Tony Mazzocchi, national organizer for the Labor Party. The spin, if you will, on almost every issue here in the United States and around the world is so much spun towards the pro-business view. It's a tremendous task to turn that around in the eyes of the American people. Can you talk a little bit about doing that?
Well, of course, you know, the media, for the most part, overwhelmingly controlled by corporations and vested interests. And people are bombarded 24 hours a day with corporate propaganda, both subtle and not so subtle. And it's an enormous task to change the framework or the way people think about these issues. Now, bringing about a change, you know, it's a formidable challenge. I see it as a step-by-step process. Anything we do is almost like we used to do years ago. You have to really take it down to ground level, speak person to person. We have to organize ourselves in communities, you know, knocking on doors, discussing our program. There's no insurance of success, but most of us who are involved in this said, well, what are our options? One option is to do nothing and let whatever is happening to us grow worse, or to decide to create a mechanism, which we think is the Labor Party, to address problems that we're talking about here today. It's a long, hard struggle. We have no choices. We see that if we don't do it, we'll be totally overwhelmed.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Yes, Mr. Mizaki. Do you buy the notion, and I would say a lie created by the corporate media, that we can't have a clean environment simultaneously with a vibrant economy?
My own union, certainly, the Union of Man of Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers, before we merged with the paper workers, was engaged in the production of toxics. We understood that. We understood that many of the substances we work with were harmful to us and the community at large, and we think we could control those, but there are some where we can't control. We have a proposal, which we call Just Transition, on how we can take care of the workers who have to maybe possibly lose their jobs, but they have to be taken care of for life. We want to address these environmental questions, which are growing much more substantial in their impact. So we recognize they have to be addressed. We recognize that we can address them in order to address them. You just can't put profit before everyone's lives. But people who are engaged in these industries have to be taken care of.
Tony Mizaki addresses the issue of the Green Party and the candidacy of Ralph Nader in this year's elections.
And as far as Nader and the Green Party, well, you know, they chose to go the electoral route, and our position is people should be free to do what they wish to do in the political arena. Our position is we don't endorse any candidates other than our own party, and people are committed to our program. So we've observed that they've conducted themselves in an election, and they're attempting to build a party. We have differences on how you do that, and we're continuing to build among working people and with an agenda that resonates with them.
The question that I have, kind of going off of what the caller had to say and what you responded to regarding that, it seems like many of the quote-unquote third parties, if you will, seem to be ignoring those people who are working people and who are living in our cities, and in particular, people who are low-wage workers and people of color. Would you agree with that?
I think that does characterize most major parties, and we were certainly very sensitive to that, because our party, if you look at it, it looks like the country. 50% of our national council, which is sort of the executive committee of the Labor Party, has to be made up of women. We have to have the same proportion of African Americans and other people of color on our national council. We, Baltimore Velasquez on our national council, president of the Farm Workers Organizing Committee, you know, Latino workers, immigrant workers. These are the issues that we address. And anyone who sees the Labor Party at convention will see. What the country looks like and well represented in our ranks.
One of the major programs of the Labor Party is the Just Healthcare campaign.
We propose national health insurance, which we characterize as just healthcare, that would cover every single resident of the country. We also are the only group in the United States that worked for a year to discuss on how it would be financed. We can provide health insurance for every single American at no cost to anybody earning under $134,000 a year. We have a progressive tax after $134,000. basically really falling heavily on those 5% of the top income earners in the country. We call for a 3.3% payroll tax. That's less than employees are paying today who provide health insurance. Any small business person could pay 3.3% of their total payroll in order to insure their employees. This would go into a national fund. They would get a tax exemption such as exists now. For instance, where for every stock transaction, which would dampen a lot of the stock speculation, you know, 0.5% or 1% on every stock transaction, that would go into a fund to pay for health care. Rather than giving back an enormous tax rebate to the rich, we ask $100 billion a year out of the surplus to go toward that. Close corporate tax loopholes. Our plan would call for not 1 cent out of the pockets of people earning under $134,000 a year, and placing a tax in a very equitable fashion on corporations, high-income individuals, and closing all the giveaways to corporations, you know, that allow us to achieve the total outlay that's necessary to cover every individual in this country. So we think it's the most important issue. It's our paramount issue, and it's the one where we're not calling for any meager reforms or incremental steps. We need health care for every American, every resident of this country, and the means to pay for it are there, and we have a proposal on how to pay for it.
It's not that there's a lack of resources or the lack of ability to do these things. I mean, there can be guaranteed jobs. There can be guaranteed health care if the political will existed to make that happen. I mean, that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, which I failed to mention, we're for removing profit from the health care system. We can greatly reduce administrative costs by having a single payer, eliminating 1,200 in different insurance companies, and profit. It's obscene, some of the profit being made over misery. It's a right, not a privilege. Health care should be distributed equally to every human being in our society.
We're talking with Tony Mazzocchi, National Organizer for the Labor Party. We've been speaking with Tony Mazzocchi, National Organizer for the Labor Party. Mr. Mazzocchi, let me ask you, any final thoughts for our audience, and also if they want to get more information?
Toll-free number is 1-888-44-LABOR. Webpage, www.justhealthcare.org.
Can you give the phone number one more time, please?
Yeah, it's 1-888-44-44, Labor, LABOR.
And any final thoughts for our audience today?
Well, the final thoughts are, I think we're in for very difficult times in the future. We have no illusions. We're not out to, you know, we're not going to be running people for the President of the United States, but we want to be able to mobilize the American public. So regardless of who's in office, those who are in office will have to respond to an aware, organized public.
Tony Mazzocchi, National Organizer for the Labor Party. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you.
Tony Mazzocchi was born in 1926 and died on October 5th of 2002. This is what the Labor Party had to say about its former national organizer. Although Mazzocchi dropped out of school at age 16, he was the prototype of the worker intellectual. He embodied the truth that our struggle is for bread and roses, for access to a full, rich life in which workers can develop all of their interests and talents. He was a voracious reader, an avid student of subjects as diverse as genetics and evolution, history and politics. He founded Alice Hampton College, produced plays, and organized cultural festivals. He was widely regarded as a visionary who was in the forefront of the labor movement's involvement in the major struggles for social justice in the post-war period, from the civil rights movement and the struggles against nuclear proliferation and the Vietnam War, to the struggle for environmental justice and the movement for occupational health and safety, which he spearheaded. Tony's lifelong conviction was that the objective of our struggle is to set the terms of national political debate around an agenda that expresses the concerns of America's workers. This conviction culminated in his decision in 1991 to concentrate all his energies on propagating the message of independent working-class politics to workers throughout the country. Drawing on his broad and vast experiences in the labor movement, he was the catalyst for the creation of the Labor Party in 1996. His leadership combined both acute, far-reaching vision and a deep understanding of the practicalities of building a coherent, independent, working-class political movement. Tony's life was defined by an irrepressible optimism that stemmed from his unflagging confidence in the capacities of workers to create change and his unique ability to combine a tough-minded understanding of the political realities of the movement with a longer view of our movement's goals and requirements. He never doubted that workers would rise to the challenge. He reiterated this optimism in his last letter to Labor Party members. He emphasized that our time is coming. When corporations collapse, the opportunity for profound change emerges. Working people at the height of the Great Depression had the resilience to organize new institutions and reshape the economy. Then, as now, working people need an institution to voice their rage. I have dedicated a lifetime to building such an expression. It certainly will not happen in the limited time now afforded to me. But you have the ability to position our party for great deeds. While other groups may waffle, let this party serve as the dog at the corporate throat. We embrace the challenge of these words and know that the greatest tribute to our brother will be to build our Labor Party. That was the Labor Party's statement on the death of national organizer Tony Mazzocchi. Mazzocchi's family requested that in lieu of flowers, contributions be made to the Debs Jones Douglas Institute, 1532 16th Street, Washington, D.C., 20009. That's it for this edition of People's Tribune Radio. People's Tribune Radio is produced by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League advocates for a cooperative society with economic and social justice for all. If you'd like more information about the League or our other print or audio publications, you can contact us by calling 1-800-691-6888, 1-800-691-6888, or on the Internet at www.lrna.org. We here at the League would also like to honor the life and work of Tony Mazzocchi and express our condolences to his family and friends. My name's Mike Thornton, and on behalf of the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, we invite you to join us next time for another edition of People's Tribune Radio.